website of repentamerica.com, Michael McCarvich wrote an open letter concerning New Orleans. And the week of the flood was the week of Southern decadence in New Orleans. Some of you might know about Southern decadence. Others might not. Southern decadence is a week that is set aside, and 125,000 homosexuals were expected to gather in New Orleans for a week of celebration. Quote, celebration. They would bring $100 million in that week into the economy of New Orleans, Louisiana. A pastor videoed film of Southern Decadence Week last year and opened homosexual acts in public and in bars. He gave a copy of that video to the mayor, Mayor Nagin. He gave a copy to the city council of New Orleans. And he gave a copy to the media of New Orleans. None of them said anything. Total silence. A few days later, Mayor Nagin issues a proclamation. And he welcomes the homosexual community into New Orleans. And he does that by using the word, quote, exciting. It's going to be an exciting week. And so the hurricane came on Monday. The levees broke on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Southern decadence was supposed to start and end on the following Monday. So as you know, plans had to be changed. And it really breaks my heart. Now we're looking at this from another perspective here. We can look at this from the human perspective as I did this morning. Now let's look at it from the spiritual perspective. New Orleans, Louisiana has 5 abortion clinics. New Orleans, Louisiana has 900 registered sex criminals. Probably that many or triple that's not registered. The whole area is financially held up by brothels. And that's what's in the French Quarter, basically, for those of you who do not know. It's an area of brothels. And the economy is gambling, basically. Retirees going down and gambling on the Gulf Coast by the busload has kept the economies of Mississippi and Louisiana going for years. They bring in $500,000 a day. A day. That's why Mississippi and Louisiana is saying now they're bankrupt. Their cash cow is lying up on the beach somewhere. These gambling casinos. The people of New Orleans at least have some responsibility to all of this. You cannot live in a city of this kind and simply not know what's going on. Even though we need to pray for the people of New Orleans, and even though we are disgusted with the way that things worked out and the terrible tragedies of how they were treated by politicians, we have to see that they have some sort of responsibility for their own city. How much How much sin will you tolerate in your city? That's a good question for all of us. How much sin are we going to tolerate in America? And so someone has asked the question, did God destroy New Orleans? I don't know. I don't claim to know everything God does. But here's what I do know. Here's what I know that is absolutely 100% certain. God allowed Katrina to hit the mainland of the United States and the Gulf Coast. That was in his permissive will. He allowed that to happen. In the Bible, whenever God would destroy cities, and he did that on several occasions, whenever God would destroy cities, it was meant to be a warning to others. And I'm wondering now if America is listening to the warning. It was to be a warning to others of what was coming in their town. You see, there is a point which God will not go any further. There's a point of sin that God will not tolerate any longer. God is long-suffering. God is a God of love. That's true. God is a God of mercy. That's true. But there is a point where God will not go any further. And the sin, the sexual sins of the people of New Orleans and their toleration of it, even if they did not participate in it, was, I believe, over the top. I believe that they pushed God to the limit myself. And America's heading the same direction. Don't you see that? Our country's heading the same direction. And unless there is a revival that sweeps this country from one end to another, the future looks very bleak indeed. And so we're going to take a look here at Genesis chapter 19. And I'll begin reading in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Notice these two words in verse 16, he lingered. And that's the story of every man and every woman who's ever heard the voice of God and yet delayed and put off doing what God would have them do. He lingered. God's will was that he leave that city, leave it behind, and set his face against the city, and God was going to destroy it. I once heard about a man who said he had a dream, and in the dream that he dreamed that he had died and gone to hell, and as he entered into hell, there was a great conclave going on, and you remember that word from the Pope dying. They had a conclave afterwards to choose a new Pope. That means secret meeting. They had a conclave of demons, and these demons had gathered there in order to come up with a plan on how they were going to destroy mankind. And there was a demon down in front. He was kind of like the moderator. And then they had all these hundreds of thousands of demons gathered there in this meeting. He said, we have to have a plan. Now let's come up with a plan on how we're going to destroy mankind. And so one demon stood up and he says, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to go back in the world and we need to tell mankind there is no God. God is dead. God does not exist. And so therefore, since God is dead, we have no responsibility to him and we can do anything that we want to. Another demon stood up. He said, no, that's never going to work. We're going to have a better plan than that. All a man has to do is step out on a starry night and look up in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. All of creation attests to the fact that there must be a creator. We have to have a better plan than that. Another demon stood up and he said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go back in the world. Let's tell mankind that there is no such place as hell. Hell does not exist. It's just in the figment of the imagination of preachers. It's not really real. God is a God of love, and everybody's going to go to heaven when they die anyway. Another demon stood up. He said, no, that's never going to work. We're going to have something better than that. No. He says, instinctively, man knows in his heart there must be a payday someday. Somewhere along the line, the books are going to be balanced. We have to have a better plan. Another demon stood up and he said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go back in the world and tell mankind that the Bible only contains God's word, but that it is not God's word. There's a great difference. If the Bible only contains God's word, that means some of it is true and some of it is false. Man will not know what is true and what is false, and so therefore he will be destroyed. And so another demon stood up and said, no, that's never going to work. We've burned that old book. We've bloodied that old book. We've banished that old book. We've martyred those who would possess it by the thousands, and still it stands. We're going to have a better plan than that. There was a demon sitting way in the back. He had not said anything up until now, and now he stood and he says, I'll tell you what, I have the plan. He said, let's go back in the world and let's tell mankind that there is a God, and God is a God of love, and God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. Let's tell mankind that. Let's go back in the world and let's tell mankind that there is such a place as hell. It has literal fire which burns forever. And all those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, whenever they die, they go to hell and there is no escape. Let's tell mankind that. He said, let's go back in the world and let's tell mankind that the King James 1611 Bible is a word of God. Every word is true from the beginning to the end. Even the cover is true. It says a holy Bible. He says, let's tell mankind that. He said, but let's tell them one more thing. Let's tell them they have plenty of time. And so, with all of that, all the demons of hell stood up and they applauded very loudly. And so was devised Satan's masterpiece for the destruction of mankind. I think if God would say to the devil, you only have one weapon that you can use against man. Choose it. I think I know what the devil would choose. He would choose procrastination. Because if the devil can get you to keep you from being saved one day and put it off to another day and another week, another month, another year. Finally, our life is over. And we die and go to hell just like he would like for all of us to do. Procrastination. Lingering. And while he lingered, the devil would have us to linger, not to obey God at first. At the very first moment that God speaks to us. And secondly, understand and know that each time God speaks to us and we do not respond, our hearts grow harder. My wife's from Iowa. We went out there a number of years ago to visit some relatives of hers, and they took us to the Iowa State Fair. And you know, these fairs are pretty much laid out all the same. One side, the agricultural exhibits, the other side, the animals and so forth, and then the midway on through. And we were going through the agricultural exhibits and turned around a corner. Here on the very corner was a sensitive plant. I happen to know what a sensitive plant was. And so I said to Cheryl and the others that were with us, "Stop, look, watch me do this now. You're going to see something that you've never seen before. You're going to see something that you've never seen before. Watch what I do here." And I know that sensitive plants grow among vegetables. Farmers are very familiar with them. They grow 2 or 3 foot high. And a sensitive plant grows wild. And a sensitive plant, whenever you touch it, a sensitive plant goes way back, like it just goes, it vibrates just like that. It's the craziest thing you ever saw, just like this. And then it'll stop. You touch it again, and man, it's so sensitive to the touch, it'll just go wild. It just goes back and forth like that. And so I said, watch this. Nothing. I said, maybe I didn't touch it hard enough. Just watch this now. Hold it. Well, it kind of jerked a little bit like that because I hit it so hard. But then nothing. Man, I was disappointed. I thought I was really going to show off there. And I started thinking, yes, I'm only the 1,547,000th person that's come through here and touched the sensitive plant. And the sensitive plant has lost its sensitivity. Because so many people have touched it. How much more sensitive do you believe that God built the human heart? And every time God speaks and we do not respond, the heart grows a little harder all the time, and a little harder all the time, and a little harder all the time. Till finally, the heart has grown so hard that God speaks, but we cannot hear what He's saying. We're no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Notice something else. Notice how our lingering can doom others. Lot's wife turned around and looked at that city burning, and God had said, no. No one looks at the city. No turning around. Flee the city. Don't look back. And we preachers down through the centuries, I'm just thinking that we preachers have been a little tough with Lot's wife. And I believe that we've given her a lot of condemnation that she did not deserve. As I analyze this story here in Genesis in chapter 19, I'm thinking if Lot would have been the kind of man that he ought to have been, Lot's wife would have obeyed him, and she would not have turned around. I'm thinking if he'd have been the kind of leader that he ought to have been, and had she trusted in his judgment more, I don't think she would have been turned into a pillar of salt. Do not delay. Do not delay, my friend. If God speaks to you, respond right away. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. It does not say tomorrow or next week or next month. Now is the day of salvation. Did you know that there's not a better day to be saved than right now, today? There's not a better day on the calendar to be saved than today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. I'm going to draw for you what it might have looked like. In the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as I do this, I cannot help to think about American cities and how we've turned many of our cities, not only New Orleans, but many of our cities, into modern-day Sodom and Gomorrahs. And God does not change. He's the same. yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God will be the same. So I'm going to draw that for you right now in chalk. Let's have all the lights out, please.
Thank you.
Friend, let's have everyone standing with every head bowed just for a moment. Let me ask you this: is God speaking to you today about being saved? If so, respond without fail right now. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, it might be that God's spoken to you this morning about, or this afternoon, about one matter or another. I want you to respond by coming. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. I pray you'd save the lost, encourage and challenge Christians for the work that lies ahead, and God, help us to respond immediately to this small, still voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am," and as we sing that song, you come right now. We have the lights on, please. You come right now. Come on.
Just as I am, without one. shed for me.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your words. And Lord, I pray you'd help us this week to walk with thee and be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed.